Amen.
For that opportunity. We confess to watch over them and all the different struggles.
Amen. Yes.
We pray all this in your precious Son's name, Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord for that. We'll have Timothy. There is a sheet out there on the last pages 5 and 6 of our final outline here on the doctrine of hell. Do you have 5 and 6? Yeah. Maybe Sister Rita needs the whole package. I did staple 5 and 6 on the ones out there that are already stapled, so... Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. I think we keep coming back to this passage because it really is one of the clearer passages to show us what is going on in hell. What is beyond the grave for those who are lost and without Christ. And so we will read it again because I'll make some reference later to that in some of our points for our final instruction on hell. We'll begin tonight, Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumble which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we know, Lord, that preaching on hell is not an easy subject, but it is necessary. And I just pray, Lord, for the leadership of your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to understand this doctrine and the place of a damnation, Lord, called hell. And Father, ultimately, we'll end up in the lake of fire. So, Father, we just pray tonight for understanding, but also, Lord, for compassion on the lost. Lord, that you would give us a vision of what really is going to happen to those who die without Christ. Father, help us now as we deliver this message tonight, and be with us, Lord, as we lift up our missionaries in prayer. Help us to be faithful, Lord, being able to intercede for their needs around the world. And we thank you for this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been working on this. This should be the last night. The Bible doctrine of hell. This is our basic Bible doctrine course. We did see, number one, the denial of hell. How many churches and philosophies out there that are not based on the Word of God, what they teach about the denial. They deny hell, or saying that hell is just the grave. And we know that not to be true from the Word of God. We've also seen, number two, the designations of hell as found in the Word of God. Sheol, understanding Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna. And so we've looked at several times, several different passages and verses, and pointed out the different compartments. And then, number three, we saw the divisions of hell. That's the that little picture you have, that illustration of what hell, Hades, the region of the departed, looked like after, or even, before the ascension of Christ. And what changed then is when Christ led captivity captive, when he ascended back to heaven, he emptied out that side of Abraham's bosom, and he led captivity captive to heaven, and that's called paradise, and that's where the saved are today. They're with Christ. Amen. In fact, it's very clear that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then we see that Paul is very clear saying, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die in Christ, when you're saved, you're with the Lord as soon as you close your eyes for the last time. But not for the lost. They will go to hell. So the side of the region of the departed called hell, that is still burning tonight, burning today with fire, literal fire, and with torments. And we'll see, we've also looked at number four, the descriptions of hell. Hell is down. Hell is beneath. And you'd have to dig to find hell. The Bible says it's in the lower parts of the earth. And you remember when Korah and his rebellious cohorts, they were swallowed up. The earth opened up and they went down into the pit. Remember, they went down directly into hell. And so we see hell is down. Hell is beneath, the Bible says. And then the size of hell, hell hath enlarged herself. There's not going to ever be a day where hell is going to be too full and say, okay, no more souls, no more space. The Bible says it's a bottomless pit. A bottomless pit, meaning it just keeps going. And God knows how many will be going there. Isn't that sad? The fire of hell, it's a literal fire. But it's a fire that's eternal. It's a fire that shall never be quenched, according to the Word of God. The darkness in hell. Isn't that sad that the most intense heat is dark heat, black heat, believe it or not. This is scientific. It doesn't even have to be scientific for us to know that. We just have to go to the Bible. Amen. It's a place of darkness, chains of darkness. But we know that there's flames even in the darkest heat, depending on the intensity of the heat. Fire has a variety of colors. Yellow heat is the coolest. Then it goes from yellow to orange and red to blue to white. White is the hottest man can produce, but scientists know that the very hottest of fires is black. So it's a scientific fact, even though I don't have to say that. It's in the Bible. The duration of hell. Hell is everlasting. The Bible talks about everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction, everlasting contempt. So it's an everlasting fire. In fact, those when hell is delivered up, it doesn't mean that they're free. They're still in the fires and then they're cast into the lake of fire. Hell, it says, the mist of darkness is forever. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, the Bible says. Now, we also ended last week with the design of hell, knowing that it was designed for the devil and his angels. You know, God's will is that all would be saved, amen, and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is that all would repent and come to Christ and be saved. This leads us to our study tonight, the degrees of hell, number 5, the degrees. As in degree, not the, there's degrees of punishment is what we want to see. There's levels of punishment, degrees of punishment in hell. And we'll get to some scriptures here. In fact, let's turn to one in Matthew 11, 22. I think there's a couple clear scriptures just to help you understand. Matthew 11, 22-24. It says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." You see, it's more tolerable, meaning it's worse for some than others. Now, you say, why are the degrees of punishment in hell? Well, we know this. All sin must be punished by a thrice holy God. There are degrees of sin. We could see that from God's Word. I'll prove that in a moment. So if there's degrees of sin, like some sins are worse than others. And we'll have to get into that. I hope you understand. I know some people say all sin is sin, but the Bible says there are some sins that are worse. And we'll get into the Word of God there. So if there's so many, if there's degrees of sin, then there's degrees of punishment. Just like our criminal justice system. Well, let's say this way. This is how our criminal justice system should work. It was designed to work that it meets out different sentences for different crimes. Now, that's not been working the way it should. And that's what's wrong with our country. Oh, by the way, I'm just a little preacher anyway, so, but you understand, Second Baptist up here, Dr. Ed Young, he's got himself into some trouble with the government and possibly the IRS. At least that's, I don't think he did, but they're trying to come after him for preaching, calling names. Anyway, they probably don't take into consideration anything I preach, so I'll be safe. I'm not a Dr. Ed Young with a 10,000 or 20,000 members, so. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, I was saying that in context of our criminal justice system and how it should work and how it's not working. But the divine justice system is perfect. Amen? God doesn't miss anything. God is righteous. God is just. So everything He does will be perfect. So we can trust Him that I know, well, they didn't get what was coming them in this life. Don't forget, they didn't escape. Amen. They will get what's coming to them if they don't get saved. If they get saved, God can forgive them. Probably if they get saved, they ought to go down to the jailhouse and confess and turn themselves in and say, I deserve this. That's what repentance is anyway. So there's degrees based on the amount of light that you receive. That's what the Lord was talking about here. He was talking about, He said very clearly, if the mighty works which have been done in thee were done back in Sodom, they would have repented. Isn't that something? I mean, think about the people during the time of Christ. They saw Him. They heard Him. They saw the miracles that He did. How much light was that? It was a lot of light. Amen? Amen? That's why there's a greater condemnation on them. A greater punishment on them. Now, in the Bible, just so you know, everyone receives light. That's what John 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. We're in the Gospels. Let's just go over there. Gospel of John 1 and verse 9 says this. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every person has a degree of light. Obviously, some of it is just creation. Some of it is just their conscience. Some they don't have the scriptures yet. But they have that creation light, that conscience light. God has put that there for everyone under the sun to see. Amen. Everyone on the whole earth can see that creation. And that's why Romans 1 said all men are without excuse. Even those in the darkest jungles that never had a Bible or never had a church are still without excuse. Because the truth is, they could say, God, there's a Creator, and I want to know Him. And you know what God does? He does send preachers. He does send the gospel. Isn't that amazing? How about the religious Pharisees during the time of Christ? And look at Hebrews chapter 10. It says, how much more sore punishment. There's a sore punishment. A worse punishment. And the idea there in Hebrews is, if you think about everything that is talking about the gospel and the whole book, that Christ and the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then it gets in the later chapters, he says, Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And then it says, he that despised Moses' law die without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's Moses' law. But what about the light we have? We have the full revelation of God's Word. We have the full revelation of Jesus Christ. And it says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see that? There's a more sore, much sore punishment. Much sore punishment. who reject the light of the gospel. I think of America, they probably haven't heard the gospel. I'm not saying, but I'll tell you what, there should be no excuse for not hearing the gospel in America. You just drive around our country, you'll see churches everywhere. Church buildings anyway. And then you turn on the radio, you can hear, I don't agree with all of them, but you can hear some truth and gospel on the radio. And then you can turn on the TV and hear some gospel there. I don't agree with them either. Personally, and this is my conviction, and I study, but I want you to understand this. You'd be better off not listening to all these other preachers and all these other blogs and all these other YouTube channels. You'd be better off coming to the house of God and let the Spirit of God lead your preacher to teach you what you need from God's Word. You'll be better off. Because there's a lot of conflicting doctrines and confusion out there that could lead you astray. And no one is above that. No one is above that. Amen? So be careful what you listen to, what you watch, and what you expose your family to listen to as well. Be careful. What I'm getting at is this. No excuse. Who could say? I think of Africans, you know. There's places in Africa, they've never even heard of a Baptist. They're like, what's a Baptist? Baptist is the largest denomination in America. Southern Baptist anyway, not that it means anything, but I'm just stating a fact. So, you know, you go to other countries, how much light did they have? Well, they have some light. A lot of it's confusion, a lot of it's false prophets. But they still have creation. And that's why there's missionaries there, amen? Because they've responded and said, yeah, we want to know God. And their preachers have, how many centuries now have preachers gone to Africa? And India. And China, you know, there's a thriving church in China, even though we don't, it may not be the biggest, you know, but it's a thriving underground church in communist China. Because truth went there. And the truth of the gospel is faithful, amen. The seed was sown and it remained there and then it grew and there's still believers there. What a blessing, amen. And you know what happened. You see Ukraine, you see over there and Russia. We know some testimonies about missionaries that have been there. I've been following that. You probably have too. Behind the Iron Curtain, and now the Iron Curtain came down. Now it's going back up because they don't let missionaries in there anymore. But how many true believers? There's a lot of believers there. A lot of churches that were left there. Amen. So do you see how light works and light, God's light? But there's a greater punishment. You know, you go around, we go around, we knock doors. And we give out the Word of God. There's going to be a greater punishment for those who just say, you know what, I'm busy. I don't care. I got too many, or they get in, they're like, this isn't important. Let me put this away now. There's a sore punishment. But this is God's work. You don't say, well, we better not go so they don't suffer more. That's not the answer, amen. I think of there's sins in the Bible that God hates. There's a sore punishment because there's the nature of sin and the number of sins committed. Can you imagine? I always use that illustration. What if man did live 900 years old? How much sin could he do? Well, we know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that the imagination of man was continually evil. That would be terrible. especially with all the technology we have today, and someone living 900 years old, and they're in the wickedness they have in 50, 60, some of them only live 20, 30, and 40 years. They're gone because of the sin and wickedness. But what if they live 900 years? Woo! So there's sins that God hates more than others. There's a list of six there in Proverbs 6. Some sins are called an abomination unto the Lord. Abomination to God is vile, shameful, detestable, deplorable, repugnant to the holy character of God. It's something that God hates because it is so offensive to Him. So the Bible tells us, you're in Hebrews, go to Hebrews 2:2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For the word, if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Meaning this, brethren, every sin is going to be punished according to that sin, according to the degree of that sin, and according to the number of sins committed. Go to Revelation 20. This is the final judgment. Revelation 20 tells us that God is recording that. Remember? God is recording that in His books. And it says the books are going to be open. And it says in verse 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. According to their works. Number 6. Now you got to get out your dictionary. The denizens of hell. The denizens. D-E-N-I-Z-E-N-S. It would be, the real idea is inhabitants. But for the sake of degrees and denizens and the outline, I said denizens. Have you ever talked to someone who's lost and they say, I don't care if I go to hell. I'll have lots of company in hell with all my friends. In fact, we're going to have one big party down in hell. But I want you to understand tonight, there are no parties in hell. There's no such hope. You will not probably even recognize your friends. And you won't even see them. So you're not even going to see them. You're not even going to recognize them. So there's no parties there. And we know who is in hell. You don't want to be there. Letter A, the intended inhabitants. This is what God intended. The beast and the false prophet. Revelation 19, you're there. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who wrought miracles before him. Hey, the devil does miracles. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So you have the beast and the false prophet there. Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You have the devil there. 2 Peter 2:4, we're not going to go there, we've already read it. The angels that sinned are chained there. Some of them are confined there already. And then the devils or demons will be cast. The ones that are free now, working with Satan on the earth, they will be cast in there. So you have the intended inhabitants, and that goes back to the design of hell. We looked at that, remember? Who is it designed for? But then the unintended inhabitants. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us, stay here in Revelation, but the Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God. Then here, look at Revelation 21:8. The fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part, shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's speaking about the new Jerusalem. Who's kept out? Those who work abominations, those who make a lie, those that defile. That's part of the list. And then 22:15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You thought dogs were going to heaven. What I'm getting at is, dogs are a reference to people in the Bible. Did you know that? They were unclean animals to Jews, but remember, it was a term that the Jews gave to the Gentiles that were lost. They called them dogs. And unfortunately, isn't it sad that some wicked sinners act like wild animals? Dogs. Wild dogs. Now the sorcerer, just so you understand the Greek, whoremongers has the idea of pornography, by the way. Pornia, pornos. Pharmakia is sorcerers. Drugs is sorcery. Do you ever see witchcraft and what they do? They use drugs. You know, this is wicked stuff, folks. Very wicked. So all this, those who do these things, this is their life, this is what characterizes their life, will go to hell. And ultimately the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. Last of all, but not least of all, number 7, the damnation of hell. Go to Matthew 23:33. Matthew 23:33. Jesus speaking. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus spoke of the damnation of hell. The damnation of hell. The word damnation means condemnation and judgment. In fact, when it's used like Jesus used it in the New Testament, it does mean eternal judgment in hell. So what is the damnation of hell? Let's remember, go back to our text now in Luke 16. We'll try to draw a few things out of here. Of course, there's other parts of the Bible, but we'll close trying to limit our text from going back and forth, but we'll do our best. Luke 16:24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Letter A, there's physical torment in hell. Physical. He begged for a drop of water. But he never got one. He never will. Could you imagine having that thirst for all eternity and never having it quenched? I want you to see in verse 23, he had his sight. He lifted up his eyes. He could see. He had taste. Verse 24, he wanted just cool my tongue. I want a drop of water. There's hearing. And Abraham, verse 29, Abraham saith to them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, nay, Father, he heard. So there are senses in hell. The Bible says, in fact, I didn't put that there, the reference, I'm sorry, I'll have to look that up. Their worm dieth not. Their worm dieth not. I can't remember right now what verse that is. It's probably in several Gospels. Jesus said it. It said, the worm dieth not and the fire shall not be quenched. So that's basically what he says. Worms, maggots, are associated with physical decay. And I looked at this verse and I looked at these words and I'm like, is it possible there'll be worms gnawing away at you for all eternity? Their worm dieth not. Yes, Mark 9:44-48, I think. He says it twice. Mark 9:44-48, their worm dieth not. And the fire should not be quenched. Go to John chapter 5. There is a resurrection of damnation. We talked about that. So this means that their bodies are going to be resurrected. Now, I already gave you the teaching of these verses when we studied about the resurrection of the future. John 5:28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Brethren, that's before the rapture. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's right before the great white throne judgment. You see that? And so there's a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. But that means they're coming out. Meaning their bodies. Now, a saved person receives a glorified body like unto Jesus. But not the law. So they're not going to have a glorified body. That means their bodies will be corruptible. That means this, all the sickness, all the ailments, all the pain, and all the agony will be forever. Will be forever. In fact, in Matthew 13:42, Jesus said there'll be endless wailing and gnashing of teeth. They'll be screaming and crying forever and ever. This is the reality of hell, folks. There'll be physical torment. There'll be mental torment. Mental. I'm not going to go there because of time, but Daniel 12, it talks about there'll be shame and everlasting shame and contempt. Everlasting shame and contempt. Meaning, shame is that disgrace and dishonor you feel for all the sins that you have committed. So, Meaning there's going to be guilt of sin. There's going to be a remembrance of the sins that you committed forever and ever. Never to find relief. Never to find forgiveness. Contempt will be the feeling from which one turns away from that which is loathsome and disgusting. So do you see these feelings are a disgust, a guilt, a shame that will never go away. And Luke 16 tells us Abraham told him. And this will be, meaning you can remember. He said to this man, 16:25, he says, remember, son, remember thou art in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise as Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So there'll be all the memories of life. So there's going to be that physical torment, there's going to be that mental torment, and there's going to be spiritual torment. Brethren, eternal death means eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from God. Jesus will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He's going to cast them into the lake of fire. Do you realize that in hell there will be no change, there will be no rehabilitation, there will be no repentance, and there will be no hope forever and ever? Are you in Luke 16? Brethren, there's a cry from hell that cannot be ignored. He's crying. Nay, Father Abraham. He says, I have five brethren. I want someone to testify to them. He's crying out. Go to my family. Go to my friends. I don't want them to come here. I don't want them to be in this place of torment. But what did Abraham say? They have Moses and the prophets. Hear them. You know what he's saying? They have the Word of God. Brethren, that's the answer today. And then it's always been the answer. And that's where you and I come in. Brethren, we have the Word of God. We have the preaching of the gospel. And we are to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Our vision is to get the gospel to every creature. And we know this. God loves this world. He loves people enough to send His Son to die for all their sins so that they will never perish. And the Lord is right now willing that all would come to repentance, that all would be saved. This is God's will. So brethren, we have a job to do. Let's never give up. And if you have family members that are dying and going to hell, you better do all you can while you can. And you know, and I think I was studying for another message, but it comes in right here. What's the thing that comes up? The hardest thing to witness to your family and friends is this. You're afraid. You're afraid to tell them about Jesus. Fear keeps you from being a witness to your family, and they're dying and going to hell. Brethren, fear is the work of the devil. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. And of power and of a sound mind. So brethren, do not be ashamed of Christ. Do not be afraid to tell your family and friends how to be saved. Because there is a hell. And as soon as they die, they will be there forever and ever and ever. You and I may be the only hope they have. Let's get busy and tell them about Christ. Amen. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father,